Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have Kurt Schlichter that joins the program. And also Raheem Kassam joins us about a really interesting observation regarding Biden becoming president. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Start a Turning Point USA chapter at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. In just a minute, we'll have Raheem Kassam on, who has a lot to say, very smart man, and we're going to explore some big topics with him in just a second. He's from the National Pulse, great website, and he has a very particular topic that I want to explore with him that I find to be super interesting and worthy of exploration. So he's going to be joining us in just a second. Raheem, I really was moved by your tweet here. So I'm going to name a list. I'm going to go through a list of names and then let you riff. Pat Caddell, Lee Atwater, James Carville, Karl Rove, David Plouffe, David Axelrod, Steve Bannon. All those people, in, what do they have in common? They were, in some ways, the architects, the conductors of successful presidential campaigns that were then able to write books and go on tour and be considered to be thought leaders. You made a very interesting observation, which is Joe Biden winning in 2020, being implemented, has no such people that take claim for him becoming president. That's super bizarre. I think back to Audacity to Win and David Axelrod. In fact, it's the exact opposite. They're almost repelled by his 2020 candidacy. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. I think, you know, a series of questions need to be answered here, which is, you know, the first one is who ran Joe Biden's campaign? I mean, it seems to me like that would be the obvious question for most people who still have suspicions about what actually took place between all of the institutions, apparatus and shenanigans in 2020 is who ran the campaign? Because nobody seems to be putting their hand up and owning that, which is very strange when you think about it. It's extremely strange when you think about the fact that we're sold this idea that Joe Biden won the most number of votes of any U.S. president ever in history, and it was the most amazing victory, even though he sat in a basement and spoke to crowds as large as eight throughout the entire campaign. So who ran the campaign? Who should be on the front cover of Time magazine? Yes. Who should be getting the book deals? Why haven't there been TED Talks? Why aren't there political parties around the world, around Europe, across Asia, across Africa, hiring this doyen, this genius, who managed to get a man elected who couldn't string a sentence together? I mean, you'd think, I mean, you know this industry as well as I do. You'd think that that would be leading to some pretty massive consultancy contracts around the electoral world, would you not? But it's now been years and that person has yet to emerge. There is no genius behind that campaign. There was no person behind it. So what was really behind it?
Yeah, so there, I guess there's two explanations there. The first is that there were so many people involved that were actually not part of the campaign, like Mark Elias and others, that it was basically an external fourth branch of government, big business, collusion enterprise, and Joe Biden just happened to be a recipient of the Politburo implementing him. Or the second explanation, as far as my calculus goes, is that they did some really unethical things, probably illegal, and no one wants to take credit for it.
Yeah, and I think that's the rub here, isn't it? Is that even if, I mean, that Time magazine piece about the broader apparatus.
By Molly Ball, yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, we told that story for months and months prior to the election that those things were going to happen with the Election Integrity Project and all of the things that were told to us by people who had studied where the money, where Mark Zuckerberg's money was going, all of that. We knew, right? And that piece, that Molly Ball piece, was really just rubbing our noses in all of that. But even if that's the case, right, even if you had all of those things and all of those players and all of those institutions come together, spend that money, and it was, like you say, a Politburo exercise, there has to be somebody coordinating it, right? Somewhere, somebody along the way knew what pieces were being put together, when they would drop, where they would drop, who was putting the money in, who was making the phone calls, who was sending the emails, who was monitoring state by state where this was going on. A person exists, but like you say, Charlie, I suspect that person doesn't actually want the infamy associated with that.
Yeah, I think that there is intentional efforts of anonymity. I mean, one of the best-selling books, and you can learn a lot from it, is the book Audacity to Win by David Plouffe. It's an easy read, and it goes from David Plouffe coming up with the idea for Barack Hussein Obama to run for president at a chilly announcement address. It was 14 degrees in Springfield, Illinois. And from that point forward, he goes through how they were able to build a grassroots, I put in quotes, grassroots populist campaign. But look, the 08 Obama campaign was remarkable. We've never seen anything like it. It was successful. They were able to sweep the nation. And I think Obama, legitimately was able to excite groups of people that otherwise were not able to, be involved in politics. But now that we're looking back going into 2024, there is this massive gap missing where if you are a political historian or if you're just someone who's not necessarily ideological and you just enjoy history, who's going to write this book? And the answer is that there's probably, and I don't think there's probably guilt, but there definitely is a fear that whomever will pop their head up very well might be exposed for either planning or being involved in a crime syndicate that implemented an incoherent person to become president of the United States.
Yeah, and I have a challenge for all the intrepid Washington reporters who obviously on a day-to-day basis clearly use their column inches to hold power to account and hold the feet to the fire of those who stalk the corridors of power in this city. I have a challenge for all of them. Write the damn book. Find out who was behind it.
Exactly. By the way, you'll make a ton of money. I mean, you just want to talk about a business opportunity. I thought they're all about making money in D.C. You could make like $250,000 in advance of, I'm going to write the definitive Biden 2020 book. We defeated Trump, COVID, lockdowns, all this stuff happening. I mean, it would be interesting. No Netflix series, no Hulu series, no Amazon Plus series. I mean, we have Amazon Plus series of every single gay story you could imagine, right? Gay girls, gay boys, trans girls, trans immigrants, queer, everything. It's nauseating. We can't get a single piece of a book or a docudrama on the presidential year that, all things being fair, it was actually a very interesting year to live through.
One of the most interesting elections, I think, ever, especially in modern American history. But like you say, everyone would buy it. The left would buy it. The right would buy it. Everyone would buy it. Whoever wrote this book and managed to get to the bottom of who this person is that coordinated the Biden campaign would be a household name overnight. Every house in America would have a copy of this book, but nobody seems to want to do any digging. Nobody with any access into Biden world, I should say specifically, wants to do any digging. And I understand they would, the invites would stop and the hit pieces would start and all of that. But surely there's got to be somebody out there in DC world, perhaps at the end of their journalistic careers, that wants to take a shot at one of the biggest stories that could possibly occur in your politics, which is that we have seen a political campaign run by a ghost, effectively. It's 2023 now. This thing is 3 years old, and we still have absolutely zero idea of who the great genius was that delivered more votes in American history than has ever been seen before. For the sake of history, at least, write the book.
What if the reason there is a blackout, what if the reason they have refused to write the book is they want to do it again? It's a new year, and there's one resolution you can easily tackle to do some serious good in your life. Change the way you buy meat with Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is the 100% American meat company that delivers the best cuts of beef, chicken, and seafood right to your door. I just got a whole box of Good Ranchers. I was blown away. We had it for Christmas. It's amazing. I had people asking me, Charlie, how can I get more of this? I told them, goodranchers.com. But look, over 85% of all the grass-fed beef in America is imported from overseas. So stop buying imported goods at the store and get American-made meat, meat from Good Ranchers. So right now, you can get over 2 pounds of chicken free in every box for a year when you subscribe. So let me tell you, Good Ranchers chicken will change what you know about chicken. It's pasture-raised, triple-trimmed by butchers so you don't have to prep it, and it's so tender and juicy you won't believe it's the same meat you've been eating most of your life. You can get a year's worth of America's Best Chicken for free, a $149 value, when you subscribe to any box at goodranchers.com today. That's healthy protein to stock your fridge with all year long. Plus, you can get a bonus $20 off with my code Kirk at checkout. If you want to start your year off right, then change the way you buy meat by switching to Good Ranchers. Make sure to subscribe today and use my code Kirk to claim your free chicken for a year for $20 off your first box. New year, new me, more like new year, new meat with Good Ranchers. American meat delivered. I love Good Ranchers. I really enjoyed it this Christmas. Check it out right now. GoodRanchers.com. That is GoodRanchers.com. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. Raheem, do they want to do it again?
They don't have a choice now. You know, they've created this image as far as a lot of their own supporters are concerned that they can do this. So now why shouldn't they do it, right? Why should a Democratic nominee for president have to actually go out there and meet the yucky people, meet
yes.
yucky real people and campaign for their vote? No. That won't be happening. They will attempt to run this very same type of campaign again.
And that might be one of the main reasons why they're not writing the book. I think it's really interesting. Okay, shifting gears for a second. How should we think about the Pence discovery of documents? We actually haven't talked about this yet today. It was the breaking news yesterday. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I did a short podcast on my Substack. There's my little plug for that. Yesterday, when this happened, not least because of course Mike Pence had already gone out there and said, "No, I would never do this. I've never done this." And then sure enough, you know, transpires that he had, and that's interesting enough in and of itself. I'm not sure why you would voluntarily offer that information if it were false or you knew in some way that it were false. So odd as far as that's concerned. But the bigger picture about all of this is, and you mentioned the Politburo earlier, and I think that's a really great word to use as far as the Washington, D.C. set is concerned, because what are they really trying to do here vis-a-vis declassification? They're trying to make it seem, and you've already seen the op-eds, The Guardian, The New York Times, I've read one in the Boston Globe as well yesterday, that the declassification process is so dated and we shouldn't have to rely on these old men to not steal documents away from whichever government department or whatever part of Congress that they had ever worked in. And that everything is basically too old and white and pale and stale. And what we really need is a committee-driven approach to this, right? Which they mean a Politburo-driven approach to this. The people like Alexander Vindman should really be in charge of this. The national yeah. security apparatus in D.C. should decide what gets declassified. Well, what happens, Charlie, if the national security apparatus is in charge of releasing information pertaining to the national security apparatus? Will they hide their malfeasance? That's what happens. I think that's the broader brushstroke here, that they are trying to subsume power away from the commander-in-chief.
So let's say Donald Trump becomes president again, or whoever becomes president. They want to make it so that a president can't declassify. Instead, they have to go through committees, and they won't declassify anything. In fact, I believe Donald Trump should have declassified a lot more. I think he should have just went nuts on the way out. He did some. I wish I would have wanted to see the JFK files. I wanted to see a lot more. But he has that power and was stopped, obviously, by the inner workings of the government. However, to go a level deeper, what you're trying to say, though, is they want to stop that power altogether. They want it to be a committee of bureaucrats, quote-unquote experts, that no one knows that actually control the declassification process.
Yes, the people who write the anonymous letters when they're serving in governments like administrations like Trump's. Think about this. I mean, just think about the fact pattern here as it has happened. When they raided Mar-a-Lago, what was the response? What was the popular and populist response? Well, it was, fine. You want to behave like that? we're going to declassify everything. Let the American public see exactly what you're trying to hide from them. And so what is their response to that is, oh, hold on, wait a minute. We can't allow these people who may even get back in next time, perish the thaw, declassification powers. We have to do something to water that down. We have to do something to dilute that process. And so, you know, unconstitutional though it may be, it has never been beyond them to reach beyond the Constitution. It has never been beyond them to not trample on the Constitution. And they will, we will see in the next couple of days, weeks, months, whatever, there will be op-eds all over the place. And people on Capitol Hill will start talking about, well, of course, you know, it'll be a randomized committee and it will rotate every 2 years. Yeah. And that will create the basis for what gets declassified or not. And the president can still make his recommendations over what gets declassified, but it is this kind of jury of the national security apparatus that will really have the final say. That's bad. That will lead to them covering up their own mistakes. You won't learn the real truth about things that happen in Afghanistan, where your money goes, what's going on in Ukraine, all of that, if they get to cover their own tracks. Be very careful where this goes.
It'll be a deep state insurance policy is what they're going to try to create. Raheem, great commentary. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And check out his Substack and his social media handles. Raheem, really quick, we have 10 seconds. Tell people how they can follow you.
Just RaheemKassam.com. All the links are there. I appreciate it.
All right. Support him. Thank you, Raheem. Appreciate it. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but that when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow Towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $49.99 with promo code KIRK. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code KIRK or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. Check it out right now. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. Joining us now is Kurt Schlichter. Kurt, I'm going to see you later this week. I am going to Dana Point, California, kicking and screaming, but I will be there. And I say that half sarcastically because going to the RNC meeting, not exactly where I want to spend my time, but I do so out of duty to our audience and hopefully to the country. But Dana Point, if you got to, I will say, I'm glad it's not in, let's just say, Buffalo, New York. Love Buffalo, New York, not exactly as nice as Dana Point right now, but it would make more sense. I don't know if they were in a battleground state, separate issue, but I'm going to see you there. I'm going to be at the RNC meeting. I'm going to be doing whatever I possibly can where I can be helpful to the cause of trying to change RNC leadership, whether it be Mike Lindell or Harmeet Dhillon, close with both of them. You're going to be there as well, Kurt, if I understand. Walk us through the state of the RNC race.
Well, look, I'm going to head down there tonight. It's at the Waldorf Astoria, which kind of gives you just the thought of the Republicans meeting at the Waldorf Astoria after the semi-disastrous November election. You know, where would they meet if they had done well? Versailles? I
hear about this obscure resort in southern Utah. I think it's called the Amangiri, where it's $17,000 a night.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be in the cards.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's... We need a change, Charlie. What we're doing isn't working. Rona McDaniel, and she may be a very nice person. I don't know her, and I don't care. All right? Sometimes you got to channel Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win. Exactly. She has a proven track record of failing. She's at 0-5 on federal election cycles, two of those being Georgia runoffs. She's apparently learned nothing. She's making no case for herself except this vague idea of unity, which I'm all for. We should unify around Harmeet Dhillon, because Harmeet Dhillon has a vision of the future that involves reforming the RNC to make it lean, mean, efficient, and a winning machine again. It's going to be a tough race. There are 168 electors, three per state or territory, and they're going to pick Friday morning. And we will see who they choose. The fact is, when Rona began, no one was opposing her. And a lot of people said, well, yeah, I guess I'll support her. I mean, she's the only one running. And then Hermie jumped in and Mike Lindell jumped in. And people have said, OK, now the situation's changed. And so is my vote. It's close and it's going to be close. It's going to be a squeaker for whoever. I don't think anybody's going to win it running away. But we have a real chance to put in a candidate who, you know, frankly, has not failed. Frankly, someone who has a vision of the future, who will audit the RNC, who will corral the consultant class, which I think is very, very important.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons they're fighting so hard. There are a lot of people who think their rice bowl is going to get kicked over. And, you know, they might be right. As for the legal issues, the lawfare, which I saw firsthand working in Las Vegas, and I saw the RNC was nearly AWOL, absent without leave. Nobody knows the legal aspects better than Harmeet. I mean, look, I'm a really good lawyer. I'm not modest because you shouldn't be modest as a lawyer. But I refer cases to Harmeet because she's very, very good. And she knows this stuff. And what's important is she's a strategic thinker. She's not thinking about the obstacle right in front of her. She's thinking a couple terrain features ahead about the battle we're going to fight down the road. And that's really what we need. Rona is a good fundraiser. She can go get rich people to write checks. But you know what? Rich people are going to write checks anyway. What we need are regular folks kicking in their $25, $100, and getting bombarded by text messages telling you you're letting down the party because you haven't chipped in yet. That's just not going to do it. The small donor base is, you know, it's pretty desolate right now. And I think Harmeet will revitalize that because electing Harmeet shows that the Republican National Committee understands it's been on the wrong path and needs to make a change. So that's kind of where we're at.
Our audience refuses to give money to the RNC, thousands and thousands of emails. And I believe the small dollar donation strategy has been disrespectful at best and flat out insulting at a even fair analysis of misusing and abusing people on fixed Social Security and income, acting as if they're quasi, and one of them was almost called them a traitor. I'm not kidding. There was an email solicitation that said, what are you, a traitor? Have you turned your back on Trump? It's so aggressive. It's so unnecessary. And it's so it's pedantic in a way that is insulting to the actual base of the party. The RNC's donor base is evaporating, and I think for good reason. You do need to have a good donor base. You need to have a functioning Republican Party.
Yes.
That's why we need to make a change. You need that. But just not only that, but Kurt, can you help me understand? And I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. And I just want everyone to understand we are going to be your voice there, because a lot of you say, Charlie, how do I help? You could still email your members. In fact, the emails you send right now matter more because they're all together. And if their phone just starts lighting up while they're in these meetings, it's all of a sudden they're going to turn like, hey, are you getting these emails too? Are you getting these emails? They're all in a very clustered environment. So I encourage you to email your committeeman, committeewoman, or state party chair. You can find that information at hireharmeet.com. That's hire like you're hiring somebody, harmeet.com. It's all there. Be respectful, be direct, be polite, but also be honest about what you think the RNC is doing or not doing. But Kurt, help me understand. We took a poll, Turning Point Action took a poll of all of our 11,000 plus people that came to America Fest, and 98% of them wanted change in the RNC leadership. Trafalgar did a poll, 92% wanted the change. Why is this even close?
Look, I think a lot of the people who are on the committees didn't really expect it to be a vigorous challenge. And a lot of them have worked their way up to the party. It's kind of a reward. I mean, you get to go to Orange County and hang out at a Waldorf Astoria. That's pretty fun. But the problem is you do have to do some work. And a lot of these people didn't really expect it. And a lot of people there, well, not a lot, but some of them think they know better than the base. You know, they're dumb. They don't really know what they're doing. You know, they just need to make the calls and knock on the doors and write the checks when we ask, but we'll do the thinking for them. Well, we've seen how well that works. You know, when you're in a leadership role, And I've commanded in the military and led in other situations. And I know you're a leader too. You're really a servant. You're someone who has to give of yourself to make sure that the people that you're honored to lead are taken care of and their needs are met. And I think a lot of our RNC committee members are really feeling that now. And they're going to have to think and say, you know, maybe it's disruptive. Maybe Rona's a personal friend of mine, but I've got to do what's right for the organization. Look, Rona's going to be fine, okay? And there's plenty of roles for her out there of things that she can do. But we've seen that leading this organization is not one. She's had three chances. And Charlie, it's so hard for someone like me. And my job as a trial lawyer is to persuade normal people.
Yes, and you're good at it.
Yeah, I'm very good. I mean, that thing up there's a $3 million
judgment,
jury verdict. I'm pretty good at it, but it's very hard talking to people and trying to explain to them why the rules that apply to them don't apply to other people. For instance, if you're out in a job and you screw up five times in a row, okay, you're probably not going to get a sixth chance.
But it's not just the job, though, Kurt. This is, I mean, and you said this perfectly, but you said in World War II, we would cycle through generals. It wasn't personal, right? If you cannot, if you can't advance, if you can't make the enemy line go 60 miles to the east every 90 days, you're going to go run a recruitment center in Birmingham, Alabama. You'll still get a check, you'll get a pension, but you're done, man. Like, you're no longer going to be tasked with, you know, taking back Belgium.
Exactly. Everybody is not a perfect fit for every job. There is plenty of great things that Rona McDaniel can do. We've just seen that she can't really do this. And she's had three chances. She's asking for a fourth. And we have to be strong enough to say, no, thank you for your service. We're going to put you on another task. She's got plenty to contribute. This is not about her being a bad person. This is about finding the right person at the right time to do the right things to get the right result.
Everybody in the audience, right now it matters more than any other time I've asked you to do this. They are all right now. The meetings have started. The voting has not. The voting is not till Friday. But right now is where you can write your letter, be respectful, be polite, be direct, and be honest. HireHarmeet.com, H-I-R-E, HireMeet.com. If you live in Idaho, North Dakota, Kansas, Texas, Florida, whatever, find them and say, hey, dear Sally Sue Marie, I want to change in RNC leadership. Please vote accordingly, especially if you are from that state, okay?
Yes.
HireHarmeet.com, H-I-R-E, HireMeet.com. Be honest and be direct and be polite. So, Kurt, this is going to come down to really thin margins. On Friday, it's a secret ballot. They're not live streaming any of their meeting. So they're at a 5-star resort, Waldorf Astoria in Dana Point, not live streaming the meeting, trying to elect somebody who's failed to a fourth term. Probably not a recipe to build trust for millions of people that need to support the party.
No, Charlie. If you sat down and tried to come up with a plan that was designed to turn people off, most effectively, many of these tactics, techniques, and procedures would be in effect. I think it was kind of a surprise to them. I think they kind of thought, well, we'll just, you know, it'll just be Rana again, and nobody, and there isn't going to be any change. And then the change kind of came from the grassroots, and then Mike Lindell and Harmeet Dhillon, and Harmeet's the one I support, said, no, I'd like to make a challenge here. And no one really expected it. It was kind of a gentleman's club and gentlewoman's club. And now it's a real, I don't want to say fight. It's a competition. And people are making tough arguments. They're critiquing Rona McDaniel. And a lot of these people are not used to being critiqued. A lot of these people aren't used to the base coming up and saying, you just haven't performed adequately. You need to go. They're a little offended by it. But it's exactly what we need. You know, you can't be arrogant and condescending to the people you want to do things for you. I'm a trial lawyer. I can't walk up to a jury and say, hey, idiots, I'll tell you what to do. You just sit here, and at the end, I'll tell you how to vote. Not going to work.
Yep.
I'd be driving a 1992 Yugo. It's it, And the same thing here. We want these people to go knock on doors for us, Charlie. We want them to make phone calls. We want them to write those small checks. But Why would they, when their views are completely rejected?
Look, and I'll say this. I can't, in good faith, if Ron is elected to a fourth term, tell our audience to give money, energy, time, or resource to the RNC. I'm going to tell them to go to other means. And that actually is not a good thing. I want the RNC to be a powerful machine. I want it to be bulletproof because it can do things that 501c4s and super PACs can't do. We've gone into this in a great detail. It's not worth doing again. But Kurt, in closing here, I want to reemphasize the power of the audience. I want this to be a participant 48 hours. Everybody, we're 48 hours out. The fact that you have a voice as a person is infuriating some of the clubby atmosphere at the RNC. They're saying, who are these people? They're smelly. They're yucky. Literally, you know, why are we listening to them? We are elite. We're a part of the club. They aren't. However, it is changing the dynamics. It is effective because for the first time ever, the RNC is now being put on notice of, hey, we actually are in charge and you guys, we put you here. 1 minute remaining, Kurt.
Well, look, it's kind of like Caddyshack. You got the Al Cervix cruising into Bushwood Country Club, and then you've got the Judge Smales crew. But you got to understand, most of these 168 aren't snobs, and they aren't jerks. There are a few who are.
There are some, to be clear. There definitely are some, but keep going.
There are some, but not most of them. And a lot of them were kind of surprised to see the outcry, and then they listened. And those are coming over to Harmeet every day. We're getting more and more votes for her. People saying, you know, I listened to what my people had to say. I looked at the facts. I'm going to support you. No offense to Ronna. I don't hate Ronna. It's just, it's time for a change.
It's time for a change. That's what we want. We fire losers when your civilization is falling apart. This is not hard. Don't overthink it. Kurt, we're out of time. I'll see you in Dana Point. God bless you, man. Thank you.
Adios.
Someone said, Kathy said, Charlie, I went to hireharmeet.com, found my RNC contacts quickly within minutes. I emailed all three, keep spreading the word. Hireharmeet.com. Maybe you support Mike Lindell, whatever. It's just a resource. hireharmeet.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.